Testing volume. Right. Testing volume. Right, that's correct.
Okay.
Now, this is tape identification, Sydney City Council, Sydney CBD Oral History Project, tape 4, and we're talking to Mr. Ross Ellis of Andy Ellis Taylor. And could I ask you to spell your full name first?
Ross, like the whole lot. Yeah, ROSSANDREWELLIS.
And the business name, could you spell that as well, please?
ANDYELLIS.
Right. What year were you born?
1940.
And whereabouts?
In Sydney.
Whereabouts in Sydney?
In the... it's the hospital out at Bondi Junction.
Where was your family living, that way?
I think at Bondi, I think, yeah.
And you grew up around there?
Mainly at Randwick I grew up.
Right. And when you went to school there?
I went to school at Clovelly Public School and then to Cleveland Street High School.
And did you go on from there to any tertiary education?
No, I did the tailoring course.
Where?
Up at East Sydney Tech College, up at Paddington.
Right.
There.
Uh-huh. And where did you work first?
Here, from me.
And who started this business then?
Dad started.
Right, I thought so, yes. Yeah. Your father. You don't know when he started it and where?
Not exactly the dates, but he made stuff for the army during the war, so it was before that date sometime.
Yes.
So it must have been probably 38 or something like that.
Where was he from? Was he local?
Well, he lived in Sydney at Bondi Beach there when he was young, but I think he came from Ballina originally. I think the family came from.
And your mother come from up there as well?
No, she came from down Bega way.
Oh, right. And what sort of influence did you get from your parents, do you think?
Well, what, on business, like this business, or...?
Anything.
Oh, well, I think I got from Dad, love of the bush and that. Because I'm a caver.
Uh-huh.
I'm interested in caves, but I think I got all there from going into the bush from him as a young boy.
But he didn't do caving.
He hated the thought of caves. Actually, as soon as I'd mention it, he'd get claustrophobic.
it's a foregone question as to whether, I mean, if your father wanted you to come into this line of work, or did you volunteer, so to speak?
Yeah, I think he wanted me to come into it, yeah.
And did you do anything else before you came into the business? You just came straight in?
Just came straight from school. I was going to do the leaving certificate, but I got really sick in that final year.
Mm.
So I just decided to leave and come into work here.
Now, do you know the history of this land and building at all?
No, I don't. Not actually.
Did your father start the shop here?
Yeah. There was a shop here before he...
What sort of shop?
I think it was a shirt shop.
Did he buy that or...?
No, we don't actually own the building at all. We've rented it all the time. Mm.
But he started somewhere else, didn't he?
Yeah, he started up in Oxford Street. Above the building, Adelstein's was in it, on the top floor of that. I don't know what the address was.
Right. You don't know what number it is, but is it still there? Is any other building?
The building's still there, I think, yeah.
You can't remember what number?
No, not offhand, no. It was right on the corner of a street. I could look it up if you want it later on.
Thank you. Yeah. And what did he start in this line of business, your father, do you know?
No, I think he first started off, well, he did all sorts of things. He drove a horse and cart delivering coal, I think, initially from when he was real young, and he was about 14. But then he worked in a fruit shop, I think, and then I think he went into tailoring after that.
Where do you know where he learned his tailoring?
He more or less learned it himself, I think, working.
Right.
Because he was a good worker, and I think it was because of seeing how good a worker he was in this fruit shop that Zinc's, so it might have been, that he actually worked for.
Ah.
I think they...
Well, they're still going.
Yeah.
Right. And the person he worked with, who you mentioned earlier on, and we've got his name... did he work up at Oxford Street?
No, he just worked from here, I think. Right. Then he ever worked at Oxford Street.
Right. So, and do you know was he a qualified tailor?
He was really in charge of the mercery side of things, you know, like the shirts and all that side of things.
Uh-huh.
So they were two. They separated it as a business in those days.
Did he make shirts, the other man?
No, he never made them. It was ready-made stuff.
Right, yeah.
But he dressed the windows and everything like that.
Do you know what decided the location of the business? Do you know why he moved down from Oxford Street to here?
I think just business was expanding sort of thing there. And initially we had all the top floor of up here as well as the workroom above the shop.
Did he have other employees?
Lots of them. There was about 20, 25 people worked upstairs then.
Right.
And he had his own workroom there. Because initially the business over at Oxford Street was just a tailoring workroom.
Right.
Whereas he came here and it became like a shop with all the other things to go with clothing,
yes,
rather than just making suits only.
And who started the line of riding coats?
Dad, that was Dad's. He had a customer who came in here, a good tailoring customer, whose daughter rode horses. He asked Dad, could he make a riding coat? Dad said, well, if you tell him what he wants, he'd make it for her. And she went on and became a champion rider, and sort of it, people start asking her where she got it from. It just went on from there.
And how long ago would that be, do you think?
Oh, it must be about, I'd say, from about the 70s, probably 1970 or 69, something like that.
Hmm. We got a problem with the. Yeah. And as far as with your father, was it a good business up at Oxford Street?
Oh, yes, yeah, really good. Well, that's why he moved down here, because it was expanding and he wanted to get into the accessory side of it as well.
And this area was good for those days. What was around here then?
Oh, well, Mark Foy's was up. Yeah, they were still going up in the building up there. And Anthony Horden's was still going. There was a big furniture store next door that was owned by Johnny O'Keefe's father, who Dad later went on to make all his suits. And then that's how he got into all the rock and roll band suits. He made most of the famous ones in that era.
Can you remember any others?
What, the bands?
Yes.
Well, he made for Digger Ravel, Johnny O'Keefe, Cold Joy, even people like Brian Henderson, he made his suits. The compere of Sydney Tonight, Mike Walsh, I think his name was. Nearly all the people who were on the hit parades at that time he made for. I've got a book there. I could actually get some more of the names out for you,
right,
if you like.
Yes. Yes, that'd be interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. And do you still do suits for them?
No. The bands sort of nowadays don't particularly wear suits. They're wearing all sorts of things. But no, that sort of era died out. We just make standard suits generally now, and the riding coats.
Right. But, I mean, for instance, Mike Walsh is still around. He could be contacted for that sort of thing, yeah.
And no, it mustn't be Mike Walsh. His name was Walsh. But he died within an accident on stage with electricity from the microphone, I think. So it's not Mike Walsh, the white that's around now.
Right.
I'll have to look, see what I can find his name.
And was that all from Cold Joy, was it?
Well, all the bands, you know, got to know about it from that.
Yeah. Were you working for your father then?
I wasn't right at the beginning, but I did. I was there when a lot of them were still. I served Johnny O'Keefe, and I know Cold Joy. Their main one that we're still doing stuff for now is Slim Dusty. He's been coming here for 30-odd years. Yeah.
And
just
he still
finished
comes
a
here.
Whole heap of stuff for him just a few weeks ago.
I would like to record him about this. About you.
Well,
father.
Yeah, he would be a good one to talk to. Yeah. Because he actually visited Dad in hospital just before he died.
Yeah.
He went out to see him.
Yeah. Now, what about the change of the area around here?
Well, yeah, there's been a huge amount of changes, really. You know, a lot of them have affected business. Like when the trams went off, you know, people used to come all the way from downtown up to here. But the buses, this isn't as easy to get up and down as the trams were. You'd just hop on one anywhere you like and hop off anywhere you like.
What about riding coats? Do you still get people from
the
bush?
Yeah, we still get riding coats there. We do them just ready-made as well as tailored. And they go all over the country. Even some go to England and a odd one to America every now and then.
And how does that come about?
Well, I think they've just seen coats up when they're over here visiting, sort of thing. It's something different.
What colours do you do them in?
Well, we do them in any colour people want, but the main colour seems to be navy blues, and green. Green's been popular the last few years.
And what about red?
Well, they're mainly for the jumping people.
And do you don't do it?
We do some of those, but not. Not as many as the more dressage kind of coat.
Who was the person again who started your father off in that area?
Shane Coughlin was the name of the rider.
Is he still around?
Well, that's a girl.
Girl, is she still around?
Yeah, I'd imagine she would be, but I couldn't really say.
Right.
Because they usually don't stay in the riding.
No, not that
when
long.
They're only when they're younger.
Mm. And, well, how has the business changed in other ways with the clientele around here?
Well, most of our businesses is from people around the area that come in, all the offices and things like that. And we've been, as I say, about, 47 years here. There's a lot of people that come back every now and then for a suit or a pair of trousers to be made.
What about the new blocks of units around here?
Well, that's sort of picked things up a little bit.
They do come in?
Yeah.
What about the backpackers?
No, you get the occasional alterations from them, but generally don't seem to buy much. They've usually got what they need.
What about before, when there was the CB private hotel over the road and the West End? Did you get people from there, country?
There's, a lot of times you don't really know where they come from, but we do. We get a lot of people from New Zealand too, who must be staying in. Like, you know, they're from New Zealand, mainly because my wife's a New Zealander. I recognise the accent, sort of thing. But people just generally don't tell you where they come from, unless you actually have to write a name and address down on something.
But New Zealand, you get orders from New Zealand as well?
Yes.
Is that riding coats?
Sell the riding coats to New Zealand too.
And once, and you send any over sight unseen, take up measurements or whatever?
No, not.
You measure them all up.
Yeah. Well, if they want a ready-made coat, you send it over, but and that's, they can return it if it doesn't fit them. Anyone wants one made to measure, they have to come into the shop, so we can do the measuring.
And the ones that from New Zealand that come into the shop for the made up, do they get the information from over there or?
Well, yeah, I think. Well, they travel around to different shows, people, so they see the coats on people and ask where they got it from. I imagine that's how they.
Right, they word get, of mouth.
Get word of mouth. Yeah, most of our business is word of mouth. We do an odd advertising thing, but not very much.
How do you advertise?
Mainly, you know, magazine, the riding magazines.
Which ones?
Horse and Rider and Hoofs and Horns. But I haven't done any advertising in that for quite a long time.
Hmm. And what about the Pony Club people? Do you get any of them?
No, they generally it's after the Pony Club that they need the coats for.
Right.
You don't get many for the Pony Club.
Yes. And what about round here? Do you get any Asian people coming in?
Yes. Yeah, they... Unfortunately, the most of my manufacturers don't make stuff small enough. You know, it's hard. They want the smaller size than the size I have, generally.
Yes.
But I do sell a fair bit to them.
Yeah. I notice your labels there, they've got Andy Ellis and the horse.
Yeah. Well, Dad loved horses too, you know.
Yeah.
I think that's possibly one of the reasons he was interested in it as well. But he just liked making really nice clothes for people.
Yeah. I see you stock shoes as well now.
Yeah, shoes, shirts, trousers, ties, belts, all accessories sort of to go with a suit or just to wear as casual.
Mm. And has your range changed over the years?
A lot of things have gone out of fashion that people don't buy much anymore, I suppose. Just gone into the basic kind of thing more now than having everything that you could possibly have. Like we used to have pyjamas and dressing gowns and slippers and anything you could think of. It just gets harder too for smaller shops like this to buy a smaller quantity from any manufacturers. Now you have to buy things in bulk.
Mm. How do you keep up with any advances in the trade or changes in the trade? Do you?
No, mainly just through, reading. Well, the magazines and the papers, just anything that's, you see what's, and also look around the other shops, see what's being sold there.
So who are your competitors?
Oh, well, just, mainly, I suppose it's the big stores like Grace Brothers and David Jones and a lot of the other stores that have opened up in the last few years.
But I mean, what about riding clothes?
There's really the only main competitor there are Melbourne firms, really.
Which ones
there's,
are they?
Richie's is one, and there's another one. Just can't think of the name of him.
You have any relationship with them at all?
No.
You just know they're there?
Yeah.
Right, yeah. And do you get people sent down from the department stores or anywhere like that?
Well, I would say they come from the department store, but people do tell them to, particularly for alterations, they send them in here. It looks like he's right.
Do you do a lot of alterations?
Yes, quite a bit of that kind of work, yeah.
Right. And you do it personally?
Yeah, I do it myself, yeah.
Right. Since you've been here, have you ever had any other employees?
I've only sort of had the business since Dad passed away, 3 years, and just for a while my wife worked with me.
You didn't work here with your father?
Oh, yeah. I worked with him all the time.
For how long?
Well, since I was 17, which is Well, I'm 60 now, so whatever that is.
So you worked with him for a long while.
Yeah, I was with him all my life. Right. But I was up in the workroom for a long time, and he was mainly down here in the shop.
But you don't have the upstairs now?
No, we don't have that now.
I didn't. When I was talking about the building, asking you about the building, have you... I mean, the people who own it are after redeveloping, aren't they?
Yeah, well, we've been on a lease here for about 20 years or more.
Have you heard anything about...
Well, it's been up for sale numerous times, but
the last application, what's happening. The last application I saw was for a 28-storey building with 191 apartments.
Well, I don't know what happened about that, but it thinks it's died off.
Well, I noticed that this is a heritage. They count these shops in with the Chamberlain Hotel on the corner.
They can't.
Heritage register.
Yeah, they've got to keep the frontage of them.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But it was passed in 1997 and it still hasn't gone through, so I don't know what's happened. You know?
No, I don't know.
Right.
So it was approved, that one, huh?
Well, I looked at it, and it seemed to be approved in 1997. Whether it was held up because of the heritage aspect, I don't know. But it's on the heritage register. Along with the shops, along with the hotel.
I knew the hotel was, but I didn't know the
Well, shall we put it this way?
But it is.
It says from 420 to 428.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's all... part of the one building, I suppose.
Well, that's what I suppose the same. Do the same people own it?
It's owned by two people jointly.
Now, what about packaging and advertising? You used to advertise in those papers, but do you do anything else?
Well, in the early days, Dad used to advertise all the time on radio and TV.
Do you know what radio and television?
Not offhand, I don't think, but I think it was Channel 7. Yeah, it was the stations that had Johnny O'Keefe's shows on and Brian Henderson's Bandstand. That was probably Channel 9, wasn't it, Bandstand? On the radio he had, I think he tried all different people and whoever was popular at the time.
I mean, Bandstand, Brian Henderson is still around, isn't he?
Not
Bandstand anymore.
No, no.
Your father used to make suits for him?
Yeah, he made suits for him in the early days.
I might ask him.
I think he actually won Best Dressed Man on television when Dad was making his suits.
Yes. And what about the window dressing? Is that the same as when your father had it?
This other fellow I gave you the name of, he handled the window dressing, and he used to get really outstanding windows put in. He had one time there, used to have, when poker machines first came in, he put a poker machine in with all the money pouring out of it, and the window got smashed and a lot of the money got stolen. He used to think up all gimmicks all the time. One time there was a big scare with counterfeit £10 notes, I think, in. So they had £10 notes in the window for sale for a dollar. And they reckon only one person came in because they thought they were all counterfeit ones. And he had contacts with the MGM movie studios. He used to get pictures of all the stars and put them in the window. Big blown-up posters. And they'd advertise the latest film with it as well at the same time.
But you decided on what was put in the window now, didn't you?
I mainly do the windows myself now,
I notice there's a lot of, I suppose it'd be considered jackets from a long while ago.
Well, they're more for, like, the young people who go to formal things for their schools now. And it's, they're put in mainly to make people stop and have a look at the window as well. And most people walk past, so they wouldn't be seen dead in that cab that's in there. But at least makes them stop and look in the window.
What about the old-time band people?
Yeah, well, we don't get them in anymore. It's,
there's not many of them left.
No, that's right, yeah. It's been quite a long while since any of those were in.
Yes. And what about point-of-sale stuff? Well, I mean, I've got, I noticed the labels. Is there anything else that you particularly use?
What, our label? You mean? No, mainly that's our sleeve ticket label.
With the horse,
we've got our own label inside, which has got the same emblem.
Right, with the horse.
On anything we make.
First on the horse, yeah.
Yeah.
And what about packaging? Do you package your stuff?
No, we don't have
a particular way.
No, we just put them in the plastic bag sort of thing now.
Right. And did you ever have any fancy?
Expensive. Yeah, Dad did have it with his name printed on paper bags. You know, that in fair, that was a long while back though.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sort of in the heydays when things were going real well.
Yeah. So do you have any idea when he moved down here?
I think it was about 1954, either 53, 54, 55, something
and
like
that.
And
he was up at the other place during the war, was he?
Yeah.
Do you think he started before the war in Oxford Street?
Well, I'd say it must have been before the war, wouldn't it? Otherwise he wouldn't have got the
Have been in business during
Well, I
the
think
war,
that's why he didn't go into the army, because they said he had to make the... He made the army stuff for them.
Right. What, was it officers... Dress uniforms or what?
Well, mainly the uniform with
the
blouse sort of top.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's And you've had the one fellow working here with you since your father died, only, haven't you?
Well. No, I've been on my own, other than my wife. Yeah, she worked here for a while, but things weren't enough.
Did she work here before you?
No, she just came in mainly to get me over the loss of Dad, because I always wondered how I'd go coming in here on my own after he'd gone, after being with him for so many years.
Yes.
So she just came in for support, really.
Yeah. Now, did you ever computerise your accounts?
No, they're still done by hand.
Right. And what about suppliers and people that you bought from? How have they changed over the years?
Oh, well, I don't suppose they've changed. They've sort of gone on to computer invoicing and things like that. They keep up with the styles that are... mainly you follow their lead from the travellers. If they say something is selling well, you'll put it into stock.
And so have there been any particular stages in the business since you've been in?
Well, the biggest shock was the GST coming in. That was a big shock. Business dropped off quite a bit from that. Of course, during the whole course of the whole life of the business... We've never put anything up 10% in one go. It's quite a big shock.
But when he had the band people in, that was, what years would that be, roughly?
They were in the middle 50s till the middle 60s, I suppose.
Right. Yeah. And the riding coats?
They started up, I think I said around about 70, something like that, or maybe 65.
And now?
And now, yeah, still doing them.
Yeah. And you're still doing all the other things, the suits and
Yeah, still making
jackets.
Suits, just business suits.
And do you make them
trousers.
Yourself or do you put them out?
Oh, no, I've got there's a small workroom that makes all my work for me, yeah.
Are they local or elsewhere?
They're in Sydney.
Right.
Yeah.
And how many fittings do you do for a radio?
Generally just the one, but if someone's an awkward size, we have an extra fitting just to check the first one came out right with it. But mainly only one. Well, probably if you count the first time you come in, you've got to be measured. Then you have to come back for a fitting when the garment's in a half-made state.
Do you do any broad-fitting shoes and things like that? Or?
No, they are. We go to Triple E, but they don't have an extra wide shoe.
And are you thinking of, the building and the business? Are you going to keep in business until...
Well, we'll keep in business while ever we're available to stay here. So I think when that application come in, we did think we'd have to get out there, so we looked around for premises, but it's hard.
And where did you think of?
Well, mainly Parramatta we were looking at because of being a bit closer to home.
Yeah.
It's hard in here with parking and everything.
Have you got any room around the back?
There is a parking place behind, but it's not part of the business. It's you've got to pay to park.
And so you're going to stay here until... There's enough business going?
Yeah, we're still going, but things have quietened off. It does get worrying at times, but we're still going.
Yeah.
And the only thing, unless business gets that bad, the only thing that would make us move would be the building being sold.
Right, yeah. Have you ever been involved in any public affairs in the city or politics?
No. Yeah. I'm a member of a caving club.
Oh, yeah, right.
And I've been the editor of its monthly magazine since 1966, I think.
Do you get any business from them?
Yeah, most of the people in the society have got an Andy Ellis suit.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
And apart from the... we must work out who should be interviewed apart from you. The other gentleman, you already gave me his name. What's his name?
Rodney Jacobs.
Rodney Jacobs, yes.
Yeah.
He worked with your father as well.
Yeah, yes. Until he worked. He's been retired for 10 or 15 years, I suppose.
And we haven't got anybody from the band era apart from Brian Henderson.
No, well, unless you can contact Cole Joy, I'm sure he's still around.
Is he?
Yeah.
Didn't know that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Because he started your father off.
Well, I forget who would have been the first person to start off. Because Dad did... He started a club that was called the Beau Brummel Club, which it was the Bodgies, I think they called them in those days, and it wasn't a rock and roll star. Anyone started him off on making that bodgy kind of suit. It was a dancer, I think, a jitterbug dancer who wanted a suit like they were wearing in America. And they said, could you make this style of drape suit? And Dad made it, and it just developed from there. And then the band started coming in.
What about Widgies? Do they do any women's clothes?
No, we didn't do women's stuff in those days. It was all men's stuff.
Have you done anything for any women band people?
Not that I can think of,
And... Do you have any material that we could that you could donate or we could copy in the way of photographs or paperwork and memorabilia?
Well, I could let you have a lend of them to copy.
Copy them, right?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
I've got a whole scrapbook there that I could
Right, and then
see.
Your advertising.
Yeah, I think there's a few bits.
I've got
of
my camera with me, by the
have
way.
You? Yeah. Well, you can take them and have a lend of them.
Thank you.
And do whatever you like with them. There's a fellow actually got probably one of the best photographs at the moment that I've met. He's writing a book on the history of rock and roll for ABC, I think. They've been doing a program on the history of rock and roll, and he's doing a book on that.
He's got a lot of your photographs.
Well, only one, but it's probably the best one.
Right, I see, yeah.
I think I've got an actual sort of photocopy one of it there, anyway, so I can show you that.
It's a pity you can't get a copy of the photograph.
Well, I can probably contact him, but he said he'd bring it back when the book's been done, so it mightn't been.
But it might be a while.
Might be a while. Yeah.
Whereas I'm supposed to be finished with this in March.
Oh,
beginning of March.
Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah. Then I can ring him and see if I can get it.
See if he can get it back. Thank you. I've got my camera with me in case you're anything else.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, is there anything else that that I should ask you? Think that that I haven't.
The only other thing on, if you want information about Dad, is he was a champion speed boat racer. He had a boat called Chickadee, and it held all the course records here for many years. And he was really a champion boat racer.
Must have been a fairly expensive hobby in its day.
Yes, it was. Yeah,
more expensive than caving.
Yeah, blew up a lot of motors, that's for sure. Never, it was a fantastic boat.
You never do any water skiing from his boat?
Yes, he's taught hundreds. That's another thing he used to do, is teach people to water ski. He taught my son to water ski. He didn't have the speed boat, then he went to a more sedate outboard boat. As he got older, he's always had a boat all his life.
And where did he keep his boat?
He kept that over at Cammeray, where he lived over at Cammeray.
Oh, right, he lived there. Yeah.
And my brother Raymond, he's got his boat now. We still go out on the Shoalhaven River with it.
Older? Your brother is older than you?
No, he's younger than me. And I've got a sister who's younger than me as well, Christine. Yeah.
And you got children, grandchildren?
Yeah, I've got two children. Stephen just turned 21 yesterday, and Jeanette's 18. Will be 18 shortly in June.
They have no interest in going on in this style of business?
No. But don't know. Jeanette's still at school, and Stephen's doing computer-aided drawing for the Snowy Mountain Engineering Corporation.
He might computerise you.
Yeah, well, I use a computer for doing this monthly magazine I do for the Sydney Speleological Society.
What sort of computer?
It's a Macintosh.
What sort of software?
Oh, what the that we do do the magazine on Quark Express.
Right. Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Well, that's quite complicated.
That's about the only thing I'm really good on computers, but the kids can virtually do anything on the
one. But you don't use it for accounting or anything like that?
No, I asked the accountant, did he think we should do it, but he said the way I do the book is adequate. I've been doing that for 20 or 30 years, doing all the books.
Do you do, Kalamazoo style, I think?
Yeah, Kalamazoo, yeah. Yeah, that's it. That's for the wages in the accounting book. Yeah.
Right.
The book's about this thick.
Well, you don't need it that thick anymore.
No, that's right. No.
But you're only on your hair on your own.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Well, I can't think of anything else for the time. And in that case, I'll say thank you very much, Mr. Ross Ellis.
Okay, thank you.